Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
Back to the Future predicted, remember, that flying cars would be a reality. And while that hasn't happened just yet, it's definitely safe to say that the amount of weird and very wonderful features that come with cars is endless. Everything from lane-keeping technology to hot stone massage seats. It's true. They're on offer these days, but for a price, obviously. Joe Rafus is editor of the online motoring magazine Auto Culture Ireland, and he joins the studio. Good to see you again, Joe.
Morning, Ryan. Thanks.
How's the world? All is good.
All is good, yeah.
Now, tell us about the various types of features. You've broken them into four categories before we kick off.
Yeah, well, generally there's a huge range of different optional extras that you can get with cars.
Yeah.
So probably the handiest way is to break them down into categories.
Yeah.
So you have your safety features, then you would have driver aids, then you'd have all the aesthetic, the cosmetic bits and bobs that you can put in cars, and then finally you kind of have real luxury or novelty items even.
Okay, so some people just want a car that has four wheels and a steering wheel and that they can go from here to there, but there's so much choice now, isn't there, in terms of what the added extras you can get?
Well, like, the basic thing is most people, when they're buying a new car, will spend days, hours, weeks, months, years thinking about what particular brand and then what particular model they'll want, and they'll make their mind up on that. Then they go to the showroom and they meet the salesman, and he presents them with this near infinite list of optional extras, and that's what people haven't put the thought in before they go in to buy the car.
Yeah.
So it's something people should be bearing in mind before they actually do their little bit of research.
Because they could go into the showroom and then before they know it, they're being bamboozled with, you need this, and there's the bill.
Thanks. Oh, you could end up spending an absolute fortune.
That's what I'm wondering about.
Without ever planning on it.
Right,
know?
Okay. So a typical feature pack, for example, I know that you've picked the new Ford Mondeo with the winter pack. So what does that mean? So if you're going to buy a Ford Mondeo, they say, we could throw this in for 300 quid.
Yeah, well, generally what happens is, you know, you have a list and they're all itemized individually, and it's extremely expensive. Now, people will go in and they will look, first of all, and they'll be offered maybe three different trim levels or four different trim levels. What that means is you have an entry level of each car, then it steps up gradually till you end up with the kind of top of the range version.
Yeah.
Probably the most simple one to break that down is actually the new Volkswagen Passat, which was only launched there 2 weeks ago.
Sure.
So you have your entry level, which is Trendline. Then the kind of middle of the range Passat, say, would be the comfort line, and then obviously you move up to the high line, which is the top of the end stuff. People will often jump up in terms of the actual trim line of the car, without, or the trim level of the car, when they're only looking for one or two of the particular things that come with the next one that they could have got separate.
Right.
If you're to buy them separate, of course, you know, you're paying for them individually. So what a lot of the manufacturers have done is they've put together these clever little packs. So it includes four or five different features for really the cost of maybe one or two of them. Probably, you know, going back then to the Mondeo, just to give you a rough example, like a winter pack includes a heated windscreen, heated driver seat, heated passenger seat, heated steering wheel even, and then heated washer jets, just that if it's a very frosty morning, you can wash your windscreen.
Yeah.
Do you know, that'll cost you about €320, whereas opposed to if you were to buy all of them individually, it could be closer to double that.
Oh, so they're bundling them up and trying to get them enough.
Absolutely, yeah. And most of the manufacturers now offer five, six different option packs.
Yeah.
So it's a far more effective way of buying it, a far more efficient and kind of frugal way of buying it.
Do you like leather seats in a car?
I do, yeah, I do. But I would say if you're buying leather seats, think about heated leather seats.
Yeah.
Because
they get
on a morning like yesterday morning or this morning, you're getting into leather seats early in the morning for your commute, you could have piles at the other end of it if you don't have the heated seats.
Get yourself sorted. And if you've got car questions, by the way, 51552, while we have Joe here, I know a lot of people are kind of either about to buy a car or have just bought a car. So many people do drive a car, so they might just have questions for you, as somebody does. My brother swears by cruise control on the carb. Is it only of use on motorways?
Yeah, generally. Now, cruise control has actually kind of taken another little step forward recently, and we now have adaptive cruise control in quite a few of the brands. Effectively, what that means is you're on a motorway, you're travelling along, there's a car in front of you. The car automatically adjusts your speed to match the speed of that slower-moving car in front of you.
God almighty.
Until you can overtake it, and then it'll pick back up to whatever the preset cruise control is. if you're doing big mileage, if you're driving long distance, and especially if you're doing a lot of motorway driving, cruise control is a really, really handy.
You knock in, you say 100 kilometres or whatever it is per hour, and to say don't go any hard fire. Is that how that works?
Pretty much,
I never use it. I don't like
you
it.
You preset it by a little toggle on either the steering wheel or on the stalk behind the steering wheel. So you set it to maybe 100 kilometres if, or 120 maybe if you're on a motorway. Yeah. And the car will just sit at that. It won't exceed it. Yeah. So it's a handy way too of watching your speed. We're all guilty of at times creeping that a little bit over the speed limit. Yeah. If you're on a long motorway journey, the last thing you want to do is see a police car pulled into the side and then look down and realise you've just creeped over it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a good way of helping that as well.
If you were to buy, I see you have here the Ford Driver Alert Pack, €970, which includes what? There's a huge array of stuff there.
Yeah, well, we're jumping back in then into kind of safety features, driver aids, you know, and something like a driver alert pack is very, very clever. It has your automatic headlights, your headlight controls, so it flicks from high beams to low beams automatically. Sometimes we get a little bit distracted, we forget to dim for oncoming traffic, and sometimes we forget very quickly to put it back up. You get your heated windshield, you get your auto dim rear view mirror. So if the guy behind you hasn't dimmed, it'll automatically, we used to have the little toggle on the bottom of the mirror for if you were being dazzled, but now it'll do it for you. You're automatically folding power fold wing mirrors. So when you park up, they fold in. They're still there when you come back.
Yeah.
You've your automatic front wipers, senses a drop of rain, comes on at the right speed.
Nice.
Your heated washer jets, your active city stop, which is really for economy, it'll stop start function. It's
that.
In a lot of new cars.
I hate that, Joe.
Yeah,
I hate being in a car.
At least you
happens.
Can turn it off in most of them.
Yeah, you can. But it is it really eco? Is that what that's all about? Or is it environment or economy?
It's a little bit of both, really.
Oh,
but
so annoying.
Yeah, but it's something that they're pushing because there is obviously a big pressure on all the manufacturers to get their CO2 emissions down.
Yeah, yeah.
So lower tax bands, and, you know, obviously it's better for the environment and everything else. So it's something that's installed.
Do you like it?
Standard. No.
Why
personally,
not?
No.
Why not?
Because sometimes it takes a little bit too long
to
cut in.
It's like those awful light bulbs that you hit the switch and it takes quarter of a second to come on, but you still feels like a lifetime sometimes.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't be a big fan of it at all. Generally, when I get into a test car, I turn it off.
You turn it off, yeah, like myself. Okay, keep going. What else have we got?
You've got blind spot monitoring, which is very handy. You'll see it, Nissan have it, Ford have it. There's quite a few manufacturers have it now, where there's a little light on the wing mirror. If there's a car on a motorway, say, in the overtaking lane as such, it'll illuminate if he's in your blind spot. So it saves you having to just look over your shoulder. Obviously, you still look over your shoulder and double check.
Yeah.
But it's a quicker little
handy,
kind of way.
Handy little thing, okay. Lane correcting, what's that?
Basically, if you start to slightly veer out of your lane, you'll get a little, maybe an audible warning or a little dash light will come up.
Saying, back, wake up, get back in
concentrate
there.
Concentrate on what you're doing.
So this is back to the future stuff, isn't it? I mean, cars are becoming so much more intuitive to your needs on the road.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, cars are—we're coming to the point of, unfortunately, and as a petrol head, I'm dreading it.
What?
The self-driving cars.
No, I mean, we won't be doing that.
They're testing them in California.
No.
They're testing them in Sweden. They're testing them in Germany. And
would you trust a self-driving car?
Not at all.
Not
I don't trust my DVD player.
Exactly.
Never mind my car.
Total skeptic.
But no, I don't want to see it come in. But there is an awful lot of features there that really are very, very clever. I mean, anybody who does any kind of commute in the morning will realise that while they might think they're the best driver in the world, they still have to be conscious of all the other lunatics.
The other
who are
lunatics.
Out there.
I know you
mentioned one guy earlier on.
Did you hear about him?
Absolute
180 miles.
You should never be let within 50 feet of a car.
Jeepers.
But there's another thing on that driver alert pack, which is a new piece of technology to the Mondeo. It's the inflatable seatbelt, rear seatbelt.
Go on.
So basically, you have an airbag built into the seatbelt in the back. So in the event of a collision, it actually expands and performs the duties of an airbag, much like the people in the front of the car would have from dashboard airbags.
Yeah.
So very, very clever
useful,
piece
safe,
of kit.
Safety thing.
Yeah.
Loads of questions coming in, Joe.
Good.
Somebody's saying, I'm thinking of buying a second-hand Lexus 220D. Is there any major problem with this model, fuel efficiency and cost to fix sort of thing?
It's very difficult. Now, Lexus are part of the Toyota group and they have a real solid history of
beautiful cars.
Building really, really reliable cars as well. Again, it's very, very difficult. The only thing you can really say is bring somebody along who knows their cars, whether it be your mechanic, your brother-in-law, your neighbour, your cousin, whoever it is, to get every car checked over. If you're buying a second-hand car, it's well worth it. The other thing then as well is spend a couple of euro, go on cartel.ie and check out the car. I mean, it's very hard to...
What's that cartel.ie? What
it's basically, they keep a database of write-offs, cars then with finance on them, all of that kind of thing.
That's
so it's
handy.
Just, it's worth it. It might save something coming back to bite you in the backside down the road. You know?
Don't need that. I'm buying the new Octavia, says a text. Anything else I should look for? Changing from a Rapid.
From a Rapid. So going up really in size-wise, well, obviously that listener is looking to increase the space and the practicality of the car they're driving. The Rapid is more kind of the same in kin with kind of a golf size car. Obviously the Octavia is a little bit bigger. Not particularly. The Skoda Octavia is a beautiful car. I test drove it last year. In terms of space, I mean, you practically need planning permission for the boot. It's that big. Brilliant car. So that's the luck with it. No.
What is the pedestrian detection system, Joe?
Pedestrian detection system. It's something that was brought in a couple of years ago by Volvo. I think Volvo came out and made a very, very bold statement a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
They decided that by the year 2020, that they didn't want any fatalities or serious injuries as a result of somebody driving a Volvo.
That's a big statement.
It's a very, very big statement. And in fairness, Volvo have always had a reputation for really, really clever, intelligent, kind of next generation technology when it comes to safety. So the pedestrian protection system has now rolled out across a load of other brands. Volkswagen have it, Ford have it, Opel have it. And basically what it does is it spots oncoming danger. So it picks out pedestrians ahead of you using a kind of a dual system of radar and a camera that's kind of located behind the rearview mirror. And it can actually predict the movements of pedestrians. So if they're about to step out in front of you, it'll give you an audible warning. It'll light up on the dash or on the heads up display. And if it doesn't detect a driver reaction, it'll actually apply the brakes at full force to stop the vehicle. While it might still hit the pedestrian, you're going to hit them at a lesser speed.
Yeah.
So.
God. Oh, how are cars and car manufacturers coping with the tendency for people to text and use their phone, which everyone does, even while driving and moving, not let alone being stationary?
Yeah, I mean, it's a ridiculous thing in this day and age. Everybody knows it's stupid. Anybody who's even used the phone while they're driving, even on Bluetooth,
Even on
Bluetooth, if you go, you know, 3-4 minutes on a phone conversation, and actually then once you've hung up, actually think, do I even remember that journey? Yeah. I don't remember passing, that I got through that little village.
I know what you're saying.
And it's something we're all guilty of from time to time. If you're going to use a phone, you should ideally pull over.
Yeah.
But you should definitely have Bluetooth. In terms of texting, there is a voice recognition where, you know, you can basically dictate to the car. And it's available in some. It'll also read texts or emails back to you. Personally, I still think it's a little bit of a distraction.
Yeah.
And there is that argument now that there's so much technology in cars that it is leading to driver distraction.
So,
you know, if you don't need it, don't use it. It can wait.
Wondering about buying a Mazda 6. There's a sports model and an executive, but I don't see any difference.
Generally, the difference will be in trim. There'll be a couple of different cosmetic features. You might have different engine sizes, or the other kind of things you might have is the spec inside.
Yeah.
You might get leather seats, that kind of thing.
Okay, so much of a muchness.
It comes down to personal taste.
Driving a hire car recently, and it had that active stop-go thing. I found it very disconcerting and impossible to get used to. That's somebody agreeing with us on in terms of not liking that. I have a 3 Series BMW. Everyone tells me they are deadly on slippy roads. Is this true? Joe, I'm crawling along and it would probably cause an accident at this stage.
The thing with BMWs, as with a couple of other models and brands of cars, is the rear wheel drive. The majority of us would probably drive front wheel drive cars in Ireland.
Yeah.
In an ideal situation, on frosty roads or icy roads, you know, front wheel drive or even preferably four wheel drive is probably a little bit easier to control.
Yeah.
Rear wheel drive, you know, the wheel or the power of the car is driven by the back wheel, so it does tend to be a little bit more tricky. It's not the wheels that actually manoeuvre the car. It's the opposite set of wheels that actually propel the car. It can be a little bit more difficult.
The big cars, the BMW X5, the Volvo
XC90,
the Range Rover, you know, those ones, Land Rover, whatever they're called. Which of those are the best of that type of car? Do you think?
Oh, how long is a piece of string?
Is it really? Are they all pretty much good? Or not good, but are they all pretty much equal in quality?
We'll put it this way. If I named one of them, your computer will probably explode by the other brand
but
drivers coming in.
You don't drive one, do you?
No, I drive a Volkswagen Golf myself.
That's brilliant. Okay, so with that in mind, you don't have to, you're not going to upset anyone in a sense, but which of all of those ones you've driven, which one do you think if you won the lottery tomorrow would you pick up?
I probably wouldn't buy one of them. I do think we have an awful habit in Ireland of buying vehicles that we don't particularly need. We buy these big four-wheel drives. We buy the big, big crossovers. I mean, we're all familiar with the story of, you know, the mum dropping the one little five-year-old child who would probably fit in the glove box of most cars.
I know what you're saying.
But has to get this massive car that, you know, they don't necessarily need.
Right.
Reality of it is most SUVs are the same size as a hatchback. They're just on stilts.
Okay. Right, well, you have strong feelings on that, which is good. Is it expensive to retrofit a reversing camera to a Volkswagen Passat, Tony and Tip?
Again, it's another along as a piece of string question. Okay. It depends exactly on... I mean, if you're capable of doing it yourself, you're obviously going to save a few pounds. There's different brands and different models of spurious parts like that. Again, the price will differ on them. And then if you want it done professionally, you know, you're going to drop it into a mechanic or an automotive electrician.
Yeah.
And they'll fit it for you. And again, prices will differ. It shouldn't be too expensive.
I have a 14-1D or whatever, Volkswagen Gold. What's the Volkswagen Gold?
Golf.
Golf, they put a D in for an F. Okay. Comfort Line. I'm thinking of changing it to in 2016. Is this a good idea to keep upgrading? And have you any tips to get a good trade-in?
Well, in terms of upgrading, if it's a case of, you know, you fall into that category where you like to kind of keep changing your car every 2 to 3 years, a lot of manufacturers offer a PCP deal. Now, Volkswagen, you know, really kind of lead the way in that they have their Volkswagen bank, so it's a lot easier for them to provide their own finance.
Right.
But the new, to give you an idea, the new Passat, that was, as I said, only launched there 2 weeks ago. You have your three trim levels. So you have Trendline, Comfortline, Highline. Highline being the highest spec one. They're actually running a promotion with 5.9% APR for the Trendline, which will drop all the way to 1.9% APR for a Highline. Basically means your deposit changes a little bit. There's a bit of a fluctuation in the deposit you put down, but your monthly repayments, whether you get into a Comfortline, a Highline, or the bottom of the range Trendline,
yes,
is still going to be €329 per month.
Okay.
So you're getting the high-end car for the same price as the Trendline. Okay, you've paid a little bit more of a deposit. And then at the end of the 3 years, your contract's up. You either take out a new deal, you pay off the remainder and keep the car, or you hand the car back. So for that listener, that might be a good option to look into.
What about, what is the best family car? Three kids, two adults. Oh. A lot of questions about that today.
Look, there is... we're blessed at the moment in terms of choice of cars, whereas traditionally we had, Ireland is a very kind of maybe a little bit conservative, narrow-minded. We have a particular brand and we're very, very loyal to it, but we've seen an emergence now in the last couple of years of the Korean brands, Kia, Hyundai. They've really you know, taken it to the traditional brands, the Nissans, the Toyotas and the Volkswagens. You now have Opel have really kind of made the most of the fact that they're a German brand and have really kind of started to emphasize their own efficiency and reliability. And
okay, so are they the names you're pushing people towards then?
I wouldn't particularly. Again, it comes down to everybody, but in terms of if you want kind of idea of last year, Volkswagen was the biggest selling car in Ireland, Toyota second, Ford third, Hyundai fourth, Nissan fifth, Opel sixth, Skoda seventh, Renault eighth, Audi ninth and Kia tenth.
Okay. What do you think of dash cams? These are the cameras on the dashboard to help you tell you where you're parking, driving.
I find
them very distracting, I have to say. I don't quite see the dimensions. My brain doesn't work well with a dash cam.
Yeah, to be honest with you,
I don't have one.
There's been new moves in that. Again, Nissan Note had it, and I see again the new Passat has it, where you actually have a 360 kind of degree aerial view appears on the display in your car as you're parking it. It's very, very surreal. It's kind of, you know, warped wide-angle lenses positioned
like
around the car.
Yeah, like a fishbowl camera.
Yeah, and it looks like somebody's actually recording you from a drone or something above while you're parking the car.
Yeah.
It might be of benefit to some people, but I'm quite happy parking the car without sensors.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do like the old beep in front and back beeper. If you have that, that's quite handy.
You know, when you're in press cars and you're changing car regularly enough and you're going from small cars to big cars and medium-sized cars and back up and down, you're jumping around the segments, it can be useful because you're just kind of trying to get used to a car in the first couple of days. So. If you're driving that car every day of the week...
You should know by now.
You probably have a fair idea.
Okay, bonkers question to finish with, Joe. I have a rat in the boot of my car. It has access to under the back seats of the car. I cleared out the boot. Can't find the rat. I put in a trap, which didn't catch it yet. Any ideas? I don't want to use poison as it will die in the car and the smell will be off. How do they know it's still there if they can't find it?
Yeah.
Joe, do you have a section in Auto Culture Ireland about rodents trapped in cars?
No, but you I might get them a ring in you Old do. Trafford and see do they have any advice.
See what they can say about that. I've got a rat in my boot. Wasn't it a UB40 song about a rat in the kitchen? That's for another day. Joe Rafus from Auto Culture Ireland, thank you so much for answering all those questions.
Thanks for having me.
Dozens more, so maybe come and see us again next month.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay, thanks, Joe.
Cheers.